Kristen, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Hi. My name is Christian. I'm a research software engineer with the Center for Advanced Research Computing at University College London. And I'm also a particle physicist analyzing collision data from the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about how we preserve LHC analyses once they're done for the long run using a tool called Rivet. So this talk is meant to give you a little bit of an insight into why we need a common tool to analyze Monte Carlo simulations, how Rivet has become that standard tool, and some of the challenges that we've encountered along the way. But before we get into that, let me set the stage a little better. So the LHC is the world's largest particle accelerator. It's housed in a 27-kilometer tunnel beneath the Swiss-French border. You can see this sort of indicated in this aerial view here. If you squint your eyes, you can see the city of Geneva in the background along with the Alps. And inside this tunnel, we accelerate protons to nearly the speed of light, and then we smash them together in four interaction points, and that's where the LHC experiments are located. And we have ALICE, CMS, LHCb, and the ATLAS experiment, which is the one that I'm working on. The LHC generates enormous amounts of data. Just last year, in July, both ATLAS and CMS each surpassed the 1 exabyte threshold, which is maybe a unit that we don't use that often, but ChatGPT tells me it's the equivalent of about 3,000 years of uninterrupted Netflix streaming. So I'm not sure that makes it more tangible. But even that is only about 10% of the full data set that we expect to record over the lifetime of the LHC. This is a huge data set. This data doesn't just include the experimental results, it also includes simulated data coming from the Monte Carlo event generators, and these are used to model the physics processes that we expect to observe in nature. Simulated data allows us to compare our experimental measurements against theoretical predictions, and so they play a crucial role in understanding our data and interpreting our data. Just to illustrate the scope of what we measure a little bit better, this plot that I'm showing you here illustrates the various processes that the ATLAS experiment has observed so far. So on the horizontal axis, you just see the various processes that we looked for listed there. And the vertical axis represents the cross-section, which is a measure for how likely a process is to occur. And I want you to note that this axis spans an incredible 15 orders of magnitude. From the most common processes on the left to the extremely rare ones on the right. I think this is probably my favorite plot that the LHC experiment released, and they sort of update this a couple of times a year. And even though I've worked on some of these processes, I still find the range of this mind-blowing. So understanding and precisely measuring these processes requires a robust framework to compare data and theory, hence the need for a tool like Rivet. We compare our experimental measurements to theoretical predictions, for example, from the Standard Model of Particle Physics, which is sort of our current best quantum field theory describing the fundamental interactions. And these theoretical simulations are created with complex theoretical tools that are developed by the theory community. And they include Monte Carlo event generators, but also Parton distribution functions, which is a thing that sort of describes how the momentum of the proton is shared between its constituents. However, these theory tools continuously improve over time, which makes it really important that we preserve our past analyses in such a way that we can go back and reinterpret them with updated theoretical models in the future. We risk losing the ability to go back and even compare our old data to new physics models, because at some level the theory is lacking a bit behind here compared to the sheer precision from this huge experimental data set. At the same time, producing high-quality simulations is computationally really expensive, and so large-scale validation is crucial in order to ensure that our tools remain reliable. What I'm showing you here is a simplified view of a sort of typical Monte Carlo event generation chain to try and simulate these collisions. We have various sophisticated, specialized tools that focus on different aspects of quantum mechanical interactions. And typically, you have more than one option available, which reflects different modeling approaches. And these are then linked to simulate an event collision that could occur at the LHC. And at the end, this is written out in a standard format called HAPMC. You can see that sort of here at the bottom, filtering down to the HAPMC format. And once such an event is generated, you can either analyze it directly with a tool like Rivet, or you can first pass it through dedicated detector simulation software to model how the experimental apparatus would have responded. And then finally, there's a bunch of statistical inference tools available to to assess the agreement with the data, which then feeds back into the theoretical development. So analyses in high-energy physics face several challenges. For once, complex analysis workflows, which you've just seen on the previous slide, but also complex event records. So each of these simulated events contains hundreds of particles and interaction vertices, and different generators typically choose to combine them slightly differently, which makes standardized analysis quite difficult. Limited portability. So many experiment-specific analysis frameworks cannot easily be shared outside the collaboration, which then restricts broader use. And risk of knowledge. Because without proper preservation, we risk losing valuable analysis insights once the original authors leave the field. So what we really need is a tool that allows us to analyze Monte Carlo events in a standardized, experiment-independent way, and that's exactly where Rivet comes in. So Rivet stands for Robust and Independent Validation of Experiment and Theory. Since its first release in 2007, it's been sort of now widely adopted as a common language to analyze Monte Carlo analysis, Monte Carlo generator events, I should say. And last year, we released Rivet 4, the latest major version. Rivet provides a framework that allows theorists and experimental physicists to analyze Monte Carlo events in a standard, reproducible way. Rivet was designed with three key principles in mind. First of all, ease of use, because it's ultimately physicists and not software developers who are the primary users. Flexibility is written in C++ with additional Python bindings. And supports essentially all of the main Monte Carlo generators, and the specific analysis routines, so I'll come back to those later, can be loaded as plugins as well. Efficiency and scalability is another one. So we have built-in caching systems which help optimize performance, and that makes it then suitable for large data sets. So the way this works in practice is that Rivet takes the generated events from the Monte Carlo generators and processes them with a bunch of predefined analysis routines, and then writes out histograms effectively in the YODA format. And those can then be used for further statistical analysis or plotting. We have a built-in plotting machinery that produces plots that look a bit like this. Speaking of YODA, by that I mean the statistics library that Rivet uses internally for its histogramming. That's another great open source tool that we use in high energy physics. And if you're interested in YODA's design and capabilities, I encourage you to check out the YODA talk tomorrow morning in the HPC track. So what is a Rivet routine? It's essentially a C++ class, which is compiled into a shared object library. And it encapsulates the analysis logic in software and code for a given analysis. And these can be plugged in at runtime. All of these analysis classes inherit from Rivet's analysis base class, and they follow a standard structure. So they all have, I pulled a little mini example here, very simplified, but still, and they all have sort of initialization phase where you book histograms, define standard algorithms. There's a per event analysis, which is used to construct the variables, observables, and fill the histograms. And then there's a finalization phase, which is used to normalize the histograms or to construct derived quantities like ratios and efficiencies and such. So this standard structure ensures consistency across analyses, and it helps to hide complexity or technical noise from the user. You can see an example here at the bottom. We use a little preprocessor macro that hides the technical, noisy, complex logic that the shared object library needs in order to register itself to the core library. But physicists don't care about that, so we'll hide that away from them so they can concentrate on the physics. So by now, the Rivet library has grown to about 2,000 of these routines, covering decades of different measurements from different experiments, I think going back to 70 years or so. And all of these are open source, providing clear documentation of the analysis logic. Having a Rivet routine makes it really easy to reproduce a measurement, and that helps ensuring that they get cited as well, which also enhances the visibility for the experimental results. So there's a sort of feedback loop between people being able to use that and then actually citing your results as well, which makes it popular. So over time, Rivet has sort of become kind of the de facto standard for comparing Monte Carlo event generators with LHC data. It provides a common framework that allows theorists and experimentalists, it provides a common framework for theorists and experimentalists that sort of has helped, but also continues to help, align best practices between them. And it's maintained, and workshops and training sessions and community engagements are driving Rivet's evolution over time. Also, the LHC experiments have embedded Rivet by now into their official analysis preservation efforts, which is great news for the community. Rivet is also useful for searching for new physics. The standard model, which is sort of a main theory, is not complete, so there's a deeper theory. And so theorists that develop extensions to the standard model, they might want to compare their models against the existing data, against the LHC data. Now, Rivet has a large pool of this data, and that makes it easy for them to scan a parameter space in their theory, to quickly scan over that and check which bits of the parameter space have already been ruled out by existing data. That's kind of illustrated here for some theory model, the details don't really matter, that has sort of two parameters, and the different colors essentially refer to different processes that have been measured and that we have Rivet routines for, and you can see how different processes become sensitive depending on what region of the parameter space you're in. Then you can do a likelihood fit, for example, and compare that against experimental data that has been measured and rule out parts of this parameter space at 95 or 68% confidence level, which is what the lines mean. And this whole process can be extended over time as new measurements come in or as the theoretical calculations become more precise. Some of the key takeaways from developing Rivet: balance generality and usability, because the target audience are physicists and not software developers. Interfacing with experiment and theory is important. Having a common framework fosters collaboration. Robust validation is essential. So We use automated regression tests to ensure that the rivet routines, once they're submitted, remain correct over time. Standardization matters. Consistency enables best practices. Community engagement is vital for sustainability, and likewise, sustainability requires effort. Academic software needs active maintenance and onboarding. So just to summarize, Rivet has become, over time, a standard tool for Monte Carlo event generator analysis and LHC analysis preservation. It bridges experiment and theory by providing a shared framework. And looking ahead, we want to focus on automation, usability improvements, and also adapting to the next generation of LHC data challenges coming our way. And of course, strengthening analysis preservation efforts remains a key priority. Thanks very much for your attention. I'll be taking questions. That's great.
Okay, so I don't know whether I understood the concept correctly. Let's assume I'm doing a Monte Carlo simulation for my accelerator now, then I've got all the root files out of it, or the Yoda files for that matter. Do I upload them somewhere, or is it just is Rivet just a tool for storing it for myself, for just storing event generator parameters for myself and sharing them with my colleagues? And then after I did that, and I have, let's say, my Geons simulation, and I get my detector hits out of that, do I also store them with Rivet?
No, none of this, in fact. So the question was how this works in principle, and what is the thing that you actually have to provide, I guess. Does that fairly summarize it? The analysis logic, what do you actually do in the analysis? What cuts do you apply? How do you select an event? Do you have a constant flux of events coming in? Somewhere in your analysis, you decide this is the thing that is interesting that I want to measure, that you're filtering out. You apply selection cuts, filtering, whatever. And this is described in the paper in a way that is essentially not reproducible because you have this small section, and if you try and code this up, you're almost certainly going to get it wrong. What you need is a C++ snippet. It doesn't have to be C++, but in this case, we that's what we use, and that's what the experimental frameworks are written in. And essentially, it's just a library of C++ snippets that encode the analysis logic. How did the analysis actually work? And so in the future, if someone comes, well, you use this on this calculation back then, we've got something that is much, much better nowadays. How does that compare to the stuff that you've measured? Then you need to be able to reproduce that analysis logic, and this is what Rivet helps you with. It maintains the logic for the future and helps you analyze this in an automated, reproducible way so that you can then go back to your data that you've actually measured and reinterpret it with much better calculations in the future. That's the principle. Yeah, it depends a little bit on the experiment. The question is, are there guidelines or standard practices on how you extract that code logic from your original analysis framework? It depends on the analysis. So on the collaboration, sorry. So I know that, for instance, CMS allows you to just use the Rivet classes directly in their original analysis, and that basically becomes a copy-pasting exercise at some level. The people in Atlas tend to write it from scratch because they realize it's an independent framework and we can actually cross-check that we haven't got any bugs in our thing. And occasionally they find things and are able to fix it before they actually release the result. So it depends how people want to use it. But yeah, there's a question there.
I work at CERN in IT, in the OpenSUSE program office as well. I have two questions. One is on the analyzing the old data, so on the data preservation. So there's all this like HEP data preservation movement, and there is a little bit of push also on the CERN side. So do you work with them, etc.? And the second one is, do you do you work with the Rihanna people with the reproducible analysis frameworks, etc.? And if the answer is no, maybe we can also help in because I know sometimes connecting in the community is a bit tricky. And
that's a good question. So HapData, the question is, you know, there are other tools available surrounding that kind of theme, such as HapData. We'll explain in a second what that is for the people who don't know, and whether we engage with these other communities. HapData is a great tool. I don't have any time, unfortunately, in my talk to talk about it. It's essentially an online database where the people, once they've made a measurement, they use their digitized data. I mean, this is all just floating points, ultimately, what we measure, but hundreds of them, and so that people don't have to actually go to the paper and copy the tables. We don't do tables anymore. We put a plot and we upload the digitized record to a central repo, essentially, which is open source, and everyone can go and download all the particle physics measurements from the past, I don't know, 70 years or so, and do with them whatever they want because they're open. Fantastic tool. And we work with the HapData developers quite frequently. We sync our repo against that because we pull the snapshot for every C++ snippet that encodes the analysis. We pull a snapshot of the numerical data so that we can then superimpose it on plots like this automatically.
So I'm asking because on this front we helped some guys who were like open sourcing some previous like lab analysis frameworks.
Yeah.
Those are really for the experimental data, not I think there's a bit of overlap, but not as much.
Yeah. HapData is more about the numerical points that you want to put in your on your plot. What's the actual values of that? Rivet is more about how did you arrive at that histogram? What
in
do you have to do? Got interrupted by Trump. Can you imagine?
We're seeing that.
I think we have still time for a final question.
Yeah, okay. So then you just use Git to store the Rivet snippets?
Yes, GitLab, okay. But yeah.
And do you happen to know people at Best3 or GSI Fair that are already also using Rivet, or is it
No, it's all of HAP. We've got all of the lab stuff, we've got Bess as well, Rick, all of it. And we welcome people to contribute more of it. Well, we don't have all of it, unfortunately, but we've got a big coverage of stuff. We'd love to have all of it. We don't yet, but if we are very keen for experiments to actually contribute their analysis themselves, because they know best what they've done. Spread the word. Spread the word.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
So let's give a final round of applause.